Amen. All right. I want to deal today with seven ways God has revealed Himself. Seven ways that God has made Himself known. You might want to write these down, and then I will go through them. Number one, creation. Obviously, God has made Himself known through creation. Secondly, God has made Himself known through the conscience. Every man has got a conscience, and God has used his conscience. Thirdly, through the confirmation of his presence through miracles. Confirmation. God performed miracles. Well, listen, God's not a show-off. God didn't do miracles just to do miracles. It was to confirm his existence. Fourthly, first through creation, conscience, confirmation through miracles, and then communication through prophets. God used prophets. Now, we don't have prophets today, do we? The church is a non-profit organization, spelt both ways, okay? Non-profit, spelt both ways. God has revealed himself through the canon of Scripture. The canon referring to the 66 books that we have in the Bible. Number six, God has revealed himself through Christ. Obviously. Now, and then number seven, believe it or not, God has used the Christian to reveal himself. Seven, all right? Let's just take each of those this morning and deal with them and see what God can do. And I got to have my watch where I can look at it occasionally because I don't want to take away. We're good to have Brinson Jennings with us today. He was scheduled to speak tonight, and he called up and asked if he could preach this morning, and I said no. But he said, I'll do it anyway. So he's here today to do it. And he has a possibly a church that he's speaking at tonight with the possibility of maybe more support. So we're all for that. Then we can cut his support off. You know, we could just zap his support, right? How many? Let's take a vote. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Yeah. First of all, God has revealed himself through creation. Turn to Genesis 1:1. We're going to look at two or three references here. Now, keep in mind that although God has revealed himself through creation, through conscience, through the confirmation of miracles and communication through prophets, it is only through Christ and his word that you can get saved. Make sure that none of you. I lived, the first church I had in California was right along the coast where the only place along the coast where the pine trees and the ocean met. Beautiful place. As a matter of fact, the temperature very seldom got above 70. It was just absolutely gorgeous along there. And we'd have a lot of people come for tree huggers. You know, they just loved the nature, they would call it. But I got news for you, not one of them ever got saved through nature. However, creation is important. We come over here to these 10 words in chapter 1 of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Got to note those. Now, here you have a statement. Now, God does not try to defend. He is not going to defend creation. He's going to tell you it's been created. By the way, it is interesting, the word heaven, underline it, because it is in the plural, referring to three heavens. There are three heavens, you know that. The first heaven is the heavens of atmosphere. When you look up the atmosphere. Second is astrology. Astronomy. I'll get the word right, not astrology. Astronomy. That's where the stars are. And then the third heaven is where the Almighty rules and reigns, where his throne is. So he's talking about the three heavens. During the time when the Russians first put up their man up in outer space. Remember what he said? He said, there cannot be any God because I'm up here and I don't see him. He was in the heavens of the atmosphere, but if he ever got to the heavens of the Almighty, you know, no man has ever seen God in what? Lived. So he would have died immediately. So keep in mind, also in that word God there in verse 1 is that thought here. It is a plural noun. What's that mean? There are three persons of the Godhead. There's more than one. We know there's three. Scripture bears that out. Now, we come over to two or three other references. And I brought my, I have two Bibles, one translation, two Bibles, though. Did that for Bob's sake. Turn to the book, the other one I can flip to faster. Anyway, it's wore it out. Anyway, go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Now, write these down, but also go to them, if you will, please. All right, Psalm 19 is a tremendous psalm on the thought of God's creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day into day utter a speech, and night into night show his knowledge. There is no speech or language where their what? Voice is not heard. Boy, what a statement. And their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And so God has revealed himself through creation. Now turn with me to the New Testament. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I meant to bring that other Bible down because I flipped to them real quick. Now when you go to Romans 1, very key here, because here you have some thoughts here. Verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is, chapter 1 of Romans, revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God," get that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it to them, "from the invisible things of him," from the what? Creation of the world. That which be known of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Notice that. Clearly seen. And here you have the evolutionists who are so blinded to what God has revealed. I in another week or two, I won't be here that Sunday. These meetings have already been set aside, but I will be up in Michigan and be in farm country, and I probably just get to the end, but I love the fall season. To me, the fall season reveals so much the beauty of God. Now, I'm colorblind, but I love the orange and the yellow and the red, because they're all the same color to me anyway. But I like the turning of the leaves and see the beauty of God, because we see here as we recognize it. But notice here, because verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Without excuse. The evolutionists will not be able to, the guy, you know, and all those who love to go to Cambria and when I my first church and worship nature, they're not going to go to heaven because they've done that. Look here. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain." And that word vain literally means empty in their imaginations of the thoughts of God, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be what? They became fools. In other words, the PhD who doesn't believe in God, his degree stands for a posthole digger. That's all that can be, because he doesn't believe Scripture. By the way, interesting, verse 23 is interesting to me. The evolutionists believe that man evolved from the lower going up, right? Look at verse 21. It's just the opposite. Man is the highest of his creations here on earth. Notice, "and changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like a man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping thing." Notice each one is lower than the other. Man hasn't evolved. Man is going down. In fact, man, and the word creeping things, that's the Greek word for the word serpent. My point of it is, man is acting more like the serpent in the garden than ever before. Agree with that? He really is. Then, so you recognize, so what did God do? God gave them up. So look at verse 20. He's going to say three things. Don't miss it. First of all, God gave them up to sodomy, through the lust of their own hearts, dishonoring their own bodies between themselves, and changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. excuse me, that's not what I wanted to say. That Sodom you find in verse 26, for God gave them up to vile affections, even for their women, changing their natural use in that which is against nature. God gave them up to sodomy. By the way, people are not born sodomites. And quit calling them gay. It's sodomy. That's what the Bible calls it. And then he also, verse 26, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God gave them up. He says it twice, and God gave them over. So first thing God did, he said, listen, God has revealed himself through creation. And I love the time of year, as I said, coming up. I'm told in your area you had 2 inches of snow already. Wow. You know, that's why they're here. Yeah. This is not the Holy Land. Anyway, now you made me lose my thought. Lord, all right. God gave them creation. God has revealed himself through creation. Secondly, God has revealed himself through conscience. Through conscience. I want you to notice a couple references. Turn with me to Romans 2. You're already there, aren't you? To look there in Romans 2 and look with me at verse 14. Here he's dealing with the difference between a Jew and a Gentile, the Jew who had the law and the Gentile who has not the law. For when the Gentiles, verse 14, which have not the law, do by nature the things contrary to the law, having not the law, are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their what? Their what? Their conscience. Now, see, man is made, when God created man, he made them in the what? The image of God, meaning that we have within us a vacuum. We're all created with a vacuum in need of God. And man will never be satisfied until that vacuum is filled with God. And that's part of his conscience. Okay, look at verse 15. Who show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness. So they were the only creature God created that had a conscience. This is what is meant if you go to John chapter 1. Turn to John chapter 1. And look here, look at verse 8 and verse 9, very key verses. Talks about John the Baptist. I'll start with verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth what? Every man that come to the world. That light refers to his conscience, an awareness that God really does exist. I've had the privilege of leading 3 professing agnostics or atheists, either one. I can't remember what they claim to be. I don't think there really is an atheist. I think he, remember what Khrushchev said? He said, somebody asked him what he thought of God, and he said, I do not believe in God, and so help me God, I never will. I hope you caught that. He swore by the one he could not believe in, didn't believe in. Khrushchev made that statement many before. And of course, now he knows there is a God. Because we have that conscience within us. And thank God that conscience is what the Holy Spirit convicts. And I want you to understand something. You can never be saved without conviction. Be careful with easy believism that leaves out the necessity of strong conviction. I remember my son was 4 years old when he got saved, but I'll tell you what, God had convicted him of his need of salvation. And I didn't get saved till I was 21 and lived. But I want you to know something. He had to repent as a 4-year-old, as much as I did as a 21-year-old. Understand that. in your conscience. And you cannot, and when that conviction comes, that's where repentance, and by the way, you can't get saved without conviction of the conscience, and you cannot get saved without repentance of the sin that you are convicted of. Very key. So first one is what? Creation. God has revealed himself through creation. God has revealed himself through conscience. Thirdly, God has revealed himself through the confirmation of miracles. Through miracles. And I think about this, as I think about the miracles of God, I think over here, two thoughts here. Go to John 21. You're in the Gospel of John, so you're not far from it. Go to John chapter 21. Look here what Jesus, what is said about our Lord in chapter 21, and look at verse 20 with me. 21, or excuse me, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. I better get it right. Chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Look there with me. Now, I have highlighted these verses because now he's dealing here with the confirmation of Christ. You know why Christ performed miracles? It's right here. And many other signs. The word for sign here deals with the miraculous workings of Christ. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Literally, not written in this book. Not just the Gospel of John, but there are other things our Lord did that were not written down at all. But the Bible said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Why did he perform miracles? To prove that he, to confirm who he really was. And so we recognize God did that to confirm. Now, let's understand something. Understand this, that as far as miracles concerned, the devil can perform miracles too. Okay, you with me? Very much so. Matter of fact, you go to the book of Revelation, you go to chapter 13, you're going to see the false prophet. He's going to perform all kinds of miracles. It is interesting to note, if you go to, Let's take a gamble. Let's go to Exodus 8. Say, Pastor, do you really gamble? When I get in my car and drive on the freeway, there's a little bit of gambling with it. Not really, but the office there. Remember it's interesting to note, sometimes without realizing the Bible gets a little humorous. I think you see this here. You remember the 10 plagues? Go to Exodus 8, and I love this one, verse 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand and over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Covered the land of Egypt. Look at the next verse. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. Now, obviously, they had enough frogs. They didn't need any more frogs, but they wanted to show how powerful they were, on the same status level as God, as Moses, who advertise his God. Ah, but will you notice over here, when you come here to the third plague of the same chapter, look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, and he smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice and man and beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. Now notice verse 18. And the magician did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but what? You know why? Because the devil does not have the power to create life. Only God can do that one. And they said when they did that, notice what they said, then the magician said, verse 19, to Pharaoh, this is what? This is God. Finger of God. God's doing this. Later on, they say, if you keep it up, God's going to destroy the whole land of Egypt. So God reveals himself through creation. He's revealed himself through the conscience. And he has revealed himself through the confirmation of miracles. He confirmed, Moses was able to confirm through that miracle that only God can create life. Jesus did those miracles to confirm that he truly was God. Okay? Now, number four is the communication through prophets. Now, a lot of what the prophets had to say are not written in the Bible. He just said them. We got many of them in our. Hello? Some of them have, some of them haven't. But prophets were used. Now, we realize that if you go to a couple references here, I want you to go to Deuteronomy 8. No, I want you to go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Now, we'll get back here to Hebrews 1 in just a moment, but now we're dealing here with the fourth one. Look at Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry, look at verse 1. By the way, you ever, I remember being in class, Dr. Scoville, and they were trying to figure out who wrote Hebrews. I got the answer. The name is in the first word in the verse, God. That's all I care about. God wrote it. I personally think when we get to heaven, you all who believe otherwise will find that Paul was the human author. How many think Paul was a human author? How many believe it was somebody else? You'll get straightened out when you get to heaven. God wrote it. But God, who at sundry times and in divers matters spoke in time past unto the fathers by the what? There you are. I said it a little while ago. I say it again. The church is a non-profit organization spelled both ways. We're not to make money a surplus, nor are we to, we don't have profits today. Now turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. All right? That's a great chapter. I've memorized. I'm still working on it, so I won't try to quote it to you. I'm not interested in showing off anyway. But if you look here at verse 8, matter of fact, if you look at verse 1, first, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Talking about tongues. Now you come to verse 8. He says, charity never faileth, but whether there be what? Prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now the word knowledge has the idea, the ability, not only to hear the prophecy, but to understand it so you could tell others what it says. Okay? Now, when time we had prophets, we don't need prophets today. We don't need them today. Anybody here know why we don't need them today? Why? We got the book. We got it all right here. Yes, sir. You and me. The word perfect here deals with completeness. I'm convinced today we have the complete Word of God today and we don't need anything else. I believe that which is complete is perfect is the Bible. Amen. You agree with me? That bothers me when you agree with me, but anyway, just kidding. Okay. All right. Now, so we have here, turn with me to, so prophets we don't have today. But God used the communication before he gave us the written word through prophets. For example, let's illustrate that. You know, let's go to 2 Peter 1. I like this. 2 Peter 1. In this particular reference here, in 2 Peter 1, the Apostle Peter, who wrote that book, of course, is talking about the time when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was a prophet. He was an apostle. He had those gifts of tongues, of knowledge, prophecy. But what he says is very interesting. Because the reason why I'm bringing this up and emphasize it, we've still got the nutcases out there who will try to tell you they have the gift of prophecy today. Harold Camping, who cost millions of dollars out of people's pockets when he gave that date, and was it May, October? I can't remember. And I was in Fostoria, Michigan when that all broke loose. And somebody asked him, if you really believe that, why don't you give me your radio station? His radio station's worth millions. Of course, he wouldn't do it, because he was giving something he foretold. It was not true, because we don't have prophets today. And if you notice, he's also wrong in so many other areas. For example, he believes two things. God is through with Israel and never going to do any more with them. That's called the doctrine of baloney. And God's through with the church. So instead of sending your money to the church, you send it to him. That's a good plan. But notice what he says here. I like this. Look over here in chapter 1 of chapter 5. Chapter 1. I'll get it right here. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter. 2 Peter. I'll try it again. 2 Peter. Moreover, Peter speaking, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these always in remembrance. Underline the word remembrance. Verse 15. The word remembrance is key. How many can think of things that you can no longer remember the way they used to really were? You cannot remember things as they really were. I'm the only one. Wow. My wife, she's not here, so I'm going to have fun. She gave me some pills that I was to take, or vitamins. And she said, honey, where are they? I said, I don't have them. You put them in a bag and you took the bottle. She said, no, I gave you the bottle. I remember that distinctly. She called me yesterday. I had a Baptistical fit. I was so happy. She said, I found the bottle in my medicine cabinet. I was sure I gave them to you. Ooh, that's how she what? Remembered it. Now, if something goes far in the past, and so what Peter's going to do here, none of you are allowed to tell her that. Okay? We will vote you out of the church. Moreover, verse 15, the word remembers. Now, verse 16, for we have not followed cunning devices, fables, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from heaven, from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven was heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. What's he talking about? Anybody want to tell me what he's talking about? Mount of Transfiguration. Now, what Peter was saying, I could pass this on. Do you ever pass something on, and by the time it gets to the fourth or first person, it's really not the way it was originally? Ever play that game? Peter was getting old. He probably, the details of that event was fading out. And I want to tell you something. The older you get, the events of years ago are going to fade out. But I'm going to tell you what else he says. We have a more sure word of prophecy. What he's referring to, we're going to deal with in a minute, because the canon of Scripture, in a moment we'll deal with it, is one of way God has revealed himself through it, one of the key way. We don't have prophets anymore. We don't need them. We've got completely everything God wants us to know. Now, turn to Deuteronomy 18. I think I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 18. I forgot to write certain things down, but it's okay. God knows I'm getting old, and that's the way it is. I guess that was where I want you to go. Now, get this. We know everything that God has told us to do. Where do we get that information from? from the Bible. That's one of the ways we deal with it. Now, when a Harold Camping comes along and tells you on May or October, whatever, that Jesus Christ is going to come. Let's read the text. I have mine highlighted. Look what he says. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. If thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord what? Had not spoken. I know what God has spoken. I got it in my hands here. How do I know what he's not spoken? How do I know the Harold Camping is not true? How do I know that I can turn on the TV and when these guys start telling me this stuff, how do I know it's not true? Look at verse 22. When a prophet speak in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, this is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And when Harold Camping gave the first date and it didn't happen, don't worry about the second date. You know, the Jehovah Witnesses predicted many years ago the second coming of Christ. They don't like to talk about that today. But they got to be false, if nothing else, because it didn't happen. Of course, there are many other reasons, too. So you have here the, number one, you have here creation, conscience, two, three, the confirmation of miracles through miracle communication through prophets, and number five, Christ. God has spoken these last days. Look at Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Again, turn there. When you look there of Hebrews chapter 1, look there at verse 1 and 2 again. God who at sundry times in past diverse manners spoken, I'll try it again. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spoken time past to the fathers by the prophet, in these last days spoken to us by his son. So that's Christ is the fifth meaning by which God revealed himself. By the way, you can't even know who God is without going through Christ. You just can't do that. He's not only the way, but he had revealed. If you go to John 1, turn to John 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 1. Very key thought here. Look at verse 18. No man has seen God, in John 1, at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. The word declared is the Greek word exegesis. You use that in college, exegesis, to translate. You reveal. The Father is revealed. All that you're going to know about God is found in the Son. Amen? That's what he's saying in the text. So we have here the fifth way. Now the sixth way is obviously through Scriptures. Now, Scriptures are very vital today. And I want you to go to Psalm 12. I'm going to make a statement and shock all of you. Ready for this? This is not the Word of God. This is the words of God. There's a difference. Every word in this book is inspired. Every word is inspired. When you go to, Adam, do you have a, you didn't turn to Psalm 12? What did I say? Verse 4 and 5, I think. I don't remember. What? You say plural or singular? Every word is inspired by God. Now, there's two thoughts here that I want you to notice. You may not have heard it. You ever heard of dynamic equivalency? How many have heard that? Dynamic equivalency. That means, dynamic equivalently, that the words are not important. Therefore, we can translate it, our thoughts. It's not the thoughts. We do not hold to dynamic equivalency, something that is equivalent to the thoughts. We hold to verbal dynamics. What the writer's scripture did in this book that I hold in my hand, he translated from the Greek and Hebrew texts into English the word that would be equivalent to the word in the text. Am I making sense to you? The exact word. Now, some of your translations, for example, one of your translations, I can't remember which one of them, which is faulty. Since every word is inspired, the words, if a translation changes, removes a word, then it's faulty. For example, go to John's Gospel, not Luke's Gospel. I got to hurry here. What time is it? My time is up. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 7. Okay, when Jesus, remember, the Bible says in verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe on him. By the way, that's his brothers, his half-brothers. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify that the world works thereof are evil. Go up to the feast. I go not up. That little three-letter word, Y-E-T, yet, is very key. You know that some of your translations leave that word out, which makes Jesus a liar? Because he did go up later. I will not go up what? Every word is absolutely vital. So I've got to hurry because, all right. So we have creation, conscience, confirmation through miracles, the communication through prophets, canon of scriptures, Christ. Last one, guess what? Stand up. Stand up for a minute. You, I know. God has revealed himself by the way he lives. You may be seated. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. That's what I'm going to close with. I have more sympathy for Matt after this. Try to get it all in. Look at verse 2 and verse 3. You are our epistles, written on our hearts, known and what? Read of all men. Every Christian reveals who God is or is not by the life he lives. God has revealed himself through us, a changed life. I hope you're living that changed life.